take up into your hand the Word of God. Firmly grasp it and refuse to let it go or renounce it. Hold it fast.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Let me share with you three concepts regarding the Word of God, which I trust will serve to enhance its glory. First of all, I want you to see the character of God's Word. And then secondly, I want you to look with me at the challenge of God's Word. That is, certain responsibilities that God's Word lays upon us, and that's identified for us in 2 Timothy 1, verses 11 to 18. And then I'll close with a concept that we lift out from various parts of the Scripture, the content of God's Word. And when we put all of those together, I hope that we'll have a deepening and a deeper reverence for the glory of the Word. First of all, the character of God's Word. Now, that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. As I look at those verses, I don't know what you see in verses 15, 16, and 17. There are a lot of theology in those verses regarding the Scriptures. But as I look at those verses, there are four basic concepts that emerge, as I see it, that give us a little insight into the character of God's Word. First of all, I think Paul says that God's Word is sacred in its essence. He calls it the Holy Scriptures. It's sacred. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's the sacred letters, literally. The sacred Scriptures or the sacred letters. Secondly, he says that Scripture is salvatory in its goal. It's able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's capital B. It's able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Then thirdly, in capital C, he says it is sterling in its origin. It is sterling in its origin. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You can't find a much better origin than that. It's sterling in its origin. And then finally, Paul says it's serviceable in its function. It's profitable. That word means serviceable. It renders a powerful service. It's serviceable in its function. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and those other ingredients that are mentioned there. He says the Scripture is sacred in its essence. It's salvatory in its goal. It's sterling in its origin. And it's serviceable for creed, for conduct, and for completion. It's serviceable in its function. Then, if you want to flip over there for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, we want to see, secondly, the challenge of God's Word. The challenge of God's Word. In this passage, Paul suggests that we are faced with a threefold challenge as it relates to God's Word. He says, number one, we are to spread it actively. That's verse 11. Number two, we are to suffer for it bravely. That's verse 12. And number three, we are to safeguard it faithfully. In particular, that's verses 13 to 15. You could go all the way down through the 18th verse. One, he says, with respect to the Word of God, whereunto, that is, unto the Word of God, unto the gospel message contained in the Scriptures, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We're to spread it actively, verse 11. Paul always had a dynamic and a comprehensive relationship to the Word of God. The gospel and the message of the Word of God did not leave Paul comfortably feeling that now that his own soul was saved, he did not need to worry anymore. The Word of God laid upon him the inescapable task of wearing himself out in the service of God and his fellow men and doing everything that he could to disseminate this message. He felt this powerful obligation to spread it actively. And he describes that obligation in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 11. I see two things there in outline form, Paul's commission and Paul's calling. Paul's commission is, I am appointed. I am appointed. Paul wanted all men everywhere to know that his appointment to the ministry found its source in God himself. It was not self-induced. It was not church-induced. It was not something personal or ecclesiastical. It was theological. It came from God. And whenever Paul spoke like this, whenever he spoke of being appointed by God, having a calling from God, being thrust into the ministry by God. Whenever he spoke like this, the accent in his voice was not one of pride. Paul was not bragging when he said that. The accent in Paul's voice was not one of pride, but of sheer amazement that God could ever use a man like him to do his work. It was the accent of humility. and not of pride. I've met men who felt that they were God's gift to humanity, and they were extremely upset that others had not yet discovered that. Paul never had that spirit. He was humbled, and he was thrilled that God could use him. I am appointed. And the accent of his voice is not pride. It's absolute humility and a spirit of sheer amazement that God could ever use a man like him to achieve his will. You notice, secondly, Paul's calling, the latter part of that verse. His calling is threefold. He says, I'm a preacher, I'm an apostle, and I'm a teacher. As a preacher, the accent is on proclamation. As an apostle, the accent is on formulation. He formulated the gospel. He was a revelational vehicle. We don't have any apostles today. And then as a teacher, the accent is on edification. That word preacher is a very precious term. Kerex is the word. In the ancient world, it had three connotations, that word preacher. It was a court term. It came from the king's court. It was a court term. Described the herald who brought the message of the king to the general populace. He came out from the court of the king, and he pronounced the message of the king to the general populace. Kerex. He was a herald. It was a civil term. It was used to describe the envoy or the emissary when two armies were opposed to each other who brought the terms of truce and peace. He was the governmental representative, the civil representative who went out to two warring factions and brought them the terms of truce and peace. The man who did that was called a kerex. It's a civil term. It was also a commercial term. It described the man whom a merchant would employ to shout his wares and invite people to come and buy them. So the preacher, Paul says, I'm a preacher, I'm a kerex. He took that term out of the ancient Greek world and he put it into the New Testament church. He says the preacher is the man who is always bringing the message of the king to his fellow men. The preacher is the man who is always seeking to bring men into a relationship of peace with God. The preacher is the man who calls out to his fellow men to accept the rich offer which God is making to them. So Paul says, I am a preacher of the word of God. Secondly, he says, I'm an apostle. The emphasis there is on formulation. The gospel was formulated by the apostles. They were the revelational vehicle through which it came. God saw to that. We have no apostles in the technical sense today. The apostles and the prophets were for the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. That foundation has been laid. We have no apostles today in the technical sense. The gospel was formulated by the apostles and bequeathed to the church by them. None of us here today have the authority of the apostolic office, but all of us have the authority of the apostolic message. And we should never fail to exercise that authority by failing to proclaim that message in the entirety of its counsel. Finally, Paul says, I'm a teacher. The emphasis there is on edification. You know, in a moment of vivid conviction, a man becomes a Christian. And that's a wonderful thing. In a moment of vivid conviction, a man becomes a Christian. But once he has become a Christian, a long road remains. Becoming a Christian is one thing. Being a Christian is another thing. And if you're going to be a Christian, you need a teacher. Someone who's going to teach you the moral and ethical and spiritual implications of the Word of God. The flame of evangelism, which we must never allow to die in our churches, the flame of evangelism must be followed by the steady glow of Christian teaching so that the edifice can be erected upon the foundation which has been laid. Paul says, I have a calling. I have a challenge with respect to God's word. Number one, to spread it actively. Number two is to suffer for it bravely, verse 12. For the which cause also I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Two things in that verse, Paul's calamity and Paul's confidence. Paul's calamity, for the which cause I also suffer these things. That is, for the cause, for the sake of the word of God, for the cause, for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Paul's suffering was on account of his loyalty to the word. As in the Beatitude, he was suffering for righteousness' sake and not for foolishness' sake. The messenger was not repulsive. Paul was not repulsive, nor are you and I to be repulsive. The messenger was not repulsive, but the message definitely was. And the reason the message is repulsive is because it strikes right at the very heart of man's fundamental sin, pride. Pride is the creature saying to the Creator, I don't need you. And the message of the Word of God is the message which says, yes, you do. That's the message we proclaim. And we can expect that men will hate that message and they will hate those who proclaim it. So Paul says, I suffer for the Word of God. That was Paul's calamity. Paul's confidence, he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Because I know whom I have believed and I have a confidence in him. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I possess a bold confidence that what I'm doing is right, says Paul, and I fully expect that the righteous God will ultimately vindicate me. There's much more I'd like to say there, but I'm going to go to the next point. The third challenge, which is laid upon us with respect to the Word of God. One, spread it actively. Two, suffer for it bravely. And thirdly, he says, safeguard it faithfully. And that's what he says there, particularly in verses 13 and 14. Hold fast the form of sound words. This is our great responsibility. The great responsibility, verses 13 and 14. The great necessity, verses 15 to 18. The great responsibility, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed or deposited unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth within us. As I look at that great responsibility, there are two things which stand out to me. We have a twofold responsibility there. One, the Word of God is a pattern. It is a pattern to be grasped. Hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love. And that word hold fast means take up into your hand the Word of God. What it literally means, take up into your hand the Word of God. Firmly grasp it and refuse to let it go or renounce it. Hold it fast. He says it's sound words. It means healthy words. That's the word that was used in the gospel narrative to describe the healing miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who were maimed and diseased and then made healthy. That same Greek word is used. And he's saying that the Word of God alone has the power to check, restrain, and ultimately remove the germs of evil, the microbes, the infective agents and organisms which have invaded the very body of humanity. Only the Word of God can cleanse us from those things. Hold it fast. It's a pattern to be grasped. He says in verse 14, it's a precious deposit to be guarded. He says that good thing which has been committed, deposited, it's a commercial term, a banking term, into your hands, keep it. It means it's to be guarded. Not only have we deposited something with God, namely the eternal keeping of our soul and our service and ministry, not only have we deposited something with God, God has deposited something with us. That good thing, which is the glorious Word of God. And Paul says we are to be good stewards of it. We are to keep it. We are to deliberately and we are to cautiously guard and protect it by refusing to compromise or corrupt it. And we are to do this in the energy and with the wisdom and the vigilance which we are given by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice the great necessity for this is given particularly in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The great necessity is this. The great awakening, which had occurred in ancient Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, had been followed by a great abandoning. So Paul says that all they that are in Asia have been turned away from me. Men were ashamed of Paul's chains, and they were afraid of Rome's power. And so they defected from the faith. And in every age, our age, in every age and every generation, there are those who will turn away from the whole counsel of God's Word. That lays upon you and I a powerful challenge, a great responsibility. We must grasp, we must hold on to the pattern of sound words, and we must guard the precious deposit as never before.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The truly saved man is the man who is aflame to save those around him, to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.